I'm speaking today with Ann Sung, who is running for HISD trustee in District 7. Ann, thank you for talking to me today. Why are you running for this office?
I'm running for this office because I know how important education is. I was a student in HISD, graduate of Askew, T.H. Rogers in Bel Air, and then I was a teacher as well for 7 years. And I'm very concerned with the direction of this district. I think we can do lots better for our students, and that's why I'm running.
I don't know how many former teachers there are that serve or have served on the HISD Board of Trustees. From your perspective, as someone who's been a teacher, how does the board help or hinder the mission of teaching in HISD?
That's a great question. I think that the board and the leadership of this district has been focused on priorities that prevent teachers from doing their best work. So there's, for example, there's been a lot of focus on test prep. And as a teacher, when you're forced to prep students just for tests, then you're not allowed to make the best judgments as to what those students could be learning. So there's a lot of students who can benefit from learning well beyond what is tested, project-based learning, etc. All of those things fall by the wayside when teachers have to focus on those kinds of things. So I think that the board could do a much better job of supporting and training teachers than it has been. There's been some good things. Recently, the district implemented a rigor training program for teachers, which was well received by a lot of teachers. So there are things that the district does well, but I think overall the direction and the focus of the leadership has been problematic.
Okay. And what would your priorities be as a board member if you're elected?
So as a board member, I'd like to see us focus on training teachers to raise standards, teach students 21st century skills. So when you talk to businesses, they say they want to hire students who can think, who can do analysis and answer open-ended questions where the answer choices aren't just A, B, C, or D. Problem solve, communicate, think creatively. Those things can be taught. You can teach teachers how to incorporate those kinds of skills into the classroom. You can have a rigorous curriculum that culminates in a capstone project. And that helps students retain what they learn much better than just focusing on test prep. I think we also need to train teachers to support literacy. We have a lot of English language learners in the classroom, and I've seen that if you're just teaching your subject matter nowadays and you're not focusing on also developing students' literacy skills, then it's very hard to succeed in an urban diverse district like we have in HISD. So I think that teacher training is very, very important. I would also like to see the district focus on creative partnerships with community members, families, businesses. There are things we can do to bring in the academic and social supports that students need to succeed. The research says that students who are at risk can overcome the challenges in their lives with much higher probability if they have a stable relationship with a caring adult. And we can create programs that create opportunities for students to have those kinds of relationships. So we can put counselors in schools who can help students get social services and healthcare. We can have business partnerships or engineering programs or sports or theater, kind of the rich array of things you would like to see students have access to in a school. We can work on making sure that we have those partnerships, not just at schools with really high parenting, currently with really high parents' involvement, but more generally across the district.
Okay. Go ahead. I'm sorry. I thought you were done.
No, that's all right. I've got more to talk about. There's many things we should be focusing on that we haven't been.
All right. Well, Superintendent Terry Greer the superintendent is hired by the district, or I should say by the board and managed by the board. And I think it's fair to say that the superintendent of Greer tends to evoke strong opinions in people one way or another. There's some board members that are firmly in his corner and some that are more, I should say, critical of him. What's your view of Superintendent Greer and the job he's done with HISD?
Absolutely. Superintendent Greer has been disappointing in a lot of ways. I think he came in and said, you know, this is where the district is at. He was brutal. He was honest. And he said we need to improve things. And what I've been disappointed by is he hasn't been willing to learn from mistakes. And when the strategies he's pursued haven't worked, he hasn't been willing to own up to them. So I've been disappointed by that. And I think some of it may be due to his bosses. So as you say, the job of the board is to hire, but also to supervise the superintendent. And I think that the board could be doing a better job, perhaps, of guiding his work. So I'd like us to have an honest discussion about things like the teacher evaluation programs and about the Apollo program and different things that the superintendent has implemented. I think that the board hasn't given adequate guidance to those.
Okay. Well, you've anticipated my next question, which is about the Apollo 20 program. What's your view of how that has gone, and where do you see opportunities to improve it? Or do you think it's worth improving, or should it instead be replaced?
Now, that's a great question. The Apollo 20 program is a terrible answer to a great question. So the question is, what can we do if we brought in more resources to help students in schools that are struggling? And the answer it gave is to destabilize the school, replace the staff without a good plan for how to develop and retain the new teachers that are brought in. It's unscalable, it's expensive. So one good piece about the program, if it were scalable, is the 1-2 tutoring, and I think it's maybe 1-3 tutoring now, where tutors work in small groups with students to develop their math skills. That's fantastic. It's very expensive. But it does work, and that's one good thing we've seen out of the Apollo program, is that math scores have gone up. It's hard not to when you have 1-3 tutoring. But very disturbing that we've put $20 million into schools, and we've seen English scores on average go down. We've seen enrollment dropping at these schools. To me, that means there's really high opportunity costs to these programs. We could have put in tutoring for students at every school, because there's struggling students in every school, for the cost of the Apollo program. And we could have put dollars into schools to reduce class sizes so that students can get that kind of individual attention in classrooms, like they get from the Apollo tutors. I think we haven't asked the question, is the Apollo 20 program the best way to spend $20 million? And to me, it's very clear that the answer is no.
Speaking of spending money, HISD had a bond referendum passed this past year to build, renovate, and otherwise improve a number of schools. First of all, did you vote for that referendum?
No, I didn't.
You voted against it?
No, actually, I was out of state at the time.
Okay. Would you have voted for it?
That's a great question. Yes, I would have voted for the program, for the bond referendum, because I think I've worked in schools where renovations desperately need to be made for the health and the safety of the students and the employees working in those buildings. And so I think that it's worth investing in our school buildings.
And how do you think it's been going since ratification in November?
I wish that there was a lot more transparency in how contracts are being made for the building of these schools. I'm concerned that there's a lot of business going to out-of-state firms to work on these schools. And I'm concerned about whether the community is truly being involved in the design of these schools. I think that some processes have been much stronger than others in some schools versus others.
Okay. As you know, 2 years ago, the legislature cut a bunch of money for public education, which had a big impact on HISD, among others. Some of that money was restored this legislative session, not all of it. What's your view of HISD's overall finances right now, and the impact that those budget cuts had on HISD 2 years ago?
Yeah, so in 2011, $5.4 billion was cut from educational spending by the Texas legislature, and HISD had to make some hard choices. The per unit or per student allocation was cut, and so that resulted in larger class sizes. And I think that's been tough and hard for schools and for children and for families. I'm disappointed to see that as money has come back from the legislature, the HISD has not put more money back out into the schools. I think that that's where this we need to really protect the money that goes to schools, because that's where the work of education is done. I'm very concerned in general about HISD finances. You know, when you read about HISD in the paper, gosh, a third or half the time it's about corruption or fraud or waste. Okay, probably not a third or half of the time, but far too often we read about contracts that are fraudulent or where there's cronyism. And I think that we really need to take a serious look in HISD at how we are spending money and how contracts are awarded. There was a report on the OIG from the Institute of Internal Auditors, and their evaluation of our auditing process is that we only met 14 out of 52 standards. And so to me, that means that we've allowed our auditing process to be subpar for a really long time in this district. And this is a huge district that educates 200,000 students. We're one of the largest school districts in the country. That's really not acceptable. So I think we need to clean up those processes and put money back out into schools, because things like class size do make a difference in urban diverse districts.
Well, to address your point about corruption and cronyism, maybe the board passed a set of ethics reforms a few months back. What's your view of the ethics reforms that the HISD board passed?
Is this the ethics reform that you're referring to, that campaign donations are limited to board members?
That was part of it, yeah. It did put some limits as to when they could raise money. There was stricter limits. There were stricter requirements on conflict of interest and having business dealings with contractors. I don't remember all the details.
Yeah, well, that's very encouraging and long overdue. So I support those efforts, and I would probably hope that they go farther.
Okay.
Further.
I mean, the other thing that the legislature did this session was make changes to graduation requirements and standardized testing mm-hmm. requirements. There was some controversy there over, especially over the curriculum and the curriculum track and graduation requirements in high school. What's your view of the changes that the legislature made, House Bill 5 and that sort of thing?
Yeah, House Bill 5 did a couple of big things. The one that got a lot of press, of course, is that the number of STAR exams at the high school level for graduation was reduced from 15 to 5. But the other piece that has gotten less press and that school districts now need to grapple with is the changing graduation tracks. So now there's different graduation plans. Students can focus in different areas, and they don't necessarily have to be on the 4x4, for math, for science, for social studies, for English, or language arts. So I think that the intent of the legislation is really good. That we know that children are individual and different, and that the best course of study for a student, for one student, may not be the best course of study for another. So I think that's really positive. But the devil is in the details, as always. And we need to be really smart about how we implement. We need to train people to understand the requirements of graduation. There's a lot of counseling that needs to happen up front so that students and families can understand the different requirements. And we need to think about what classes we have in place so that students can actually follow different tracks. Unfortunately, we have, I think, cut back in HISD in thinking creatively about classes. We've become very, very standardized, which I think is unfortunate. You know, I was a physics teacher, and I taught pre-AP and AP physics, and I think those are fantastic classes. But for some students, the best way to learn physics or to get an engineering credit might be in a vocational class where they're actually applying it and learning welding or cabinet making. And I've seen great instructors really hold students to high standards in applying scientific principles and mathematics principles in those classes. So it can certainly be done, but we need to really be thoughtful about it and not underestimate the effort it's going to take and really involve teachers and principals and families in planning those curriculum offerings.
HISD has annexed the former North Forest ISD on the order of the TEA after that district was found to be unmanageable anymore. What's your view of how that merger or annexation has gone so far?
So that's on the opposite side of town from where I live. I've heard some good things, but I don't have any kind of special knowledge of what's happened except from what I read in the papers. So if what I've read in the papers is true, that that the buildings have been physically cleaned up and that students and families have been counseled about the change and advised about opportunities for summer school and for the start of school, then that all sounds good to me. But it's something I'd like to learn more about.
Okay. The subject of education has come up in the Houston mayor's race. Mayor Parker, Ben Hall have both been talking about it. As you know, in Houston in particular, in Texas in general, school districts are a separate government entity than cities, like some other states. But what is your view of what role, if any, cities, the city of Houston and the mayor of Houston have to play in HISD and education in Houston?
I think that the city and the mayor are very important in the lives of children, and that you can't just separate education out from all the other services that that children receive. So I think thoughtful partnerships in, whether students can participate in after-school programs that have some city involvement, or healthcare that's so important for students to be ready to learn at school. I think that there are ways that partnerships can happen and be important. But as you said, Houston is a city where we don't have mayoral control of schools. It's governed separately. HISD is the body that governs schools. And so aside from being thoughtful about how we partner, and I am a strong supporter of partnerships, I don't see that the mayor in Houston should be directly involved, like in the managing of schools. Do you have any particular questions that you want to ask on that?
No, I'm mostly interested in, part of the point of these questions is to see just how people react to them. Like I said, given that these are two separate government entities, you can have, a discussion like that can lead to friction, or it can lead to, positive, conversation. So it's just a matter of, I just want to see what people's perspective is on it. Something that had been proposed for the ballot for this year but won't happen was a measure to fund pre-K programs in Houston. I kind of suspect that although it didn't make it this year, that it's something that's going to come back. What was your view of the earlier rise program and their proposal to fund pre-K in Harris County?
Well, to be clear, it wasn't a proposal to fund pre-K, but to fund training for pre-K pre-K teachers or childcare providers. I am a strong supporter of pre-K, and I think strengthening the training is very important. I know there are questions about the governance of the Early to Rise, program, and so I'm not very familiar with the details. But in general, what I can say is that I'm a really strong supporter of quality pre-K, and I think one thing that the HISD board can do, and what I as a trustee would advocate for, is finding the students who are eligible for pre-K. There's some 2,000 students. I read a 2011 report that was put out by HISD's own office that says that some 2,000 low-income children, four-year-olds, who are eligible for full-day pre-K aren't participating. And to me, that's an outreach program. And this is one of those areas where the city and HISD could collaborate in reaching out to families so that they know that there is pre-K available, that it's beneficial to children, that it helps them start kindergarten ready to learn.
I mean, you mentioned teacher evaluations at the beginning of this interview, and you know, the teachers union has had somewhat of a contentious relationship with Superintendent Greer, and I know that there is a new teacher evaluation program that's being put into place. You know, teacher evaluations is one of those things that, you know, from the view of someone who's never been a teacher, seems like a difficult thing to quantify. What's your, you know, how do you do teacher evaluations right? And is HISD moving in that direction or not?
That's a great question. I think we have models in the city of teacher evaluation done right. You train the evaluators, who should be people who have taught themselves and are very familiar with the school. And you go in and observe multiple times, and you see how our teachers doing. You give them clear rubrics and clear guidance for the expectations, and you give them a lot of coaching as well so that they understand the expectations and they aren't things that only show up once a year when it's time for evaluation, but that they are part of what we do regularly. What I think is problematic, and the HISD has pushed, is tying teacher evaluations to student test scores. And that is very, very unreliable. Students' performance on test scores are influenced by lots of factors that teachers don't control directly. So how well the school is run shows up in a teacher evaluation based on test scores. Peer effects, because students do a lot of teaching of each other. Those are not accounted for in these measures. Whether parents can afford to pay for tutors for students. Whether there are shootings in the neighborhoods where children live, which is traumatizing and affects the brain's ability to retain information. There's so many factors that affect how students learn that teachers, that even, you know, these very technical models called value-added measures don't account for. So I think it's problematic that HISD has gone to a system where test scores of just a few students have such a high, and is usually a subset of the teacher students, not even all of them, have, and sometimes there are students who are not even taught by those teachers, so it's very problematic in implementation. But even at best, students' test scores, when perfectly implemented, can account for what a teacher, the quality of a teacher's, you know, true impact on a student. It's just not being measured well by test scores. And what I'm very concerned with is reports that administrators and evaluators are being told that they should match all of their other measures, so all the classroom observations and all the qualitative data and assessments of teachers to those test scores, which means that actually the entire evaluation of a teacher is based on student test scores. It's not fair. It's not accurate. And the third thing is that it sets up really bad incentives, because in the short term, what teachers end up doing is teaching to the test. And so things that are not on the test are jettisoned from the curriculum. Or you don't bother to teach students whose test scores do not show up as part of the calculation, because it's often just a subset of your classes or students that show up in teacher evaluations. So it sets up perverse incentives for teachers to not do their best job for all students. And it also sets up perverse incentives for teachers to avoid teaching the hardest to teach students. It's hard for tests to pick up progress of students who are at the very bottom of the scale that a test measures, or at the very top of the scale. And so you'll end up with teachers avoiding teaching ELL students because it's hard to, because those teachers will regularly end up with lower value-added measure scores. And then the final thing that happens is that it incentivizes teachers to leave the schools where they're needed the most. And I think we want to avoid doing that. We have some schools in HIC that are very hard to staff. I think that needs to be a very high priority for us, is to have good quality teachers that are stable at schools where students struggle the most. And this teacher evaluation system is working in the opposite direction from that.
Okay. And when people go to vote this November in this election, why should they vote to make you the next trustee in District 7 and not your opponent, the incumbent?
Well, what I bring to the table is training as a scientist and a policy analyst and as a teacher. And so the reason why I was successful as a teacher, I was Teacher of the Year at Lehigh School. I have sent students to Stanford and MIT to study engineering. And the reason why I was successful as a school leader in helping train teachers and helping improve the performance of students at Lehigh School was because I was very honest. I was honest with myself about what are the weaknesses and strengths of myself as a teacher and what are the weaknesses and strengths of the teachers that I'm working with and what are the trade-offs that we make in the choices that we make to improve performance. And so that's what I would bring, is an experience. I know how to train teachers. I've trained AP teachers. I've trained teachers teaching remedial science classes. I know how to help struggling schools improve. I know how to help good schools get better. And that experience is something that we're missing on the board right now. We don't have people with recent teaching experience who are used to working in diverse urban schools and who know how to help schools succeed. And we need help on this board with being honest about what's going right and what's not going right in this district. And I've been disappointed by the incumbent who's been on the board for 10 years. I think that there's too much cheerleading going on. There's too much saying, oh, the programs that we've implemented are doing so well for our students. In many cases, they're not. And the children of HISD can't wait. When things are not working, we have to be brutally honest about what's not working and have a clear vision about how to make things better. And what I want to do is I want to support high standards for students so we can have those 21st century skills that businesses need developed in our students. I want to be thoughtful about how we train teachers to develop those skills and how we train teachers to also support literacy and how to support English language learners. I want us to focus on the things that matter, so teacher development, partnerships that will support students academically and socially to succeed, and leadership development so that we can have great teachers at every school and retain them. Those are the things that I know how to do that I will focus on, and that's what I would like to do on the HISD board.
All right, Anson, thank you very much for talking to me today.